Are we on? All right. All right. Thank you so much. Sorry for the delay. We just have to get our stuff switched over so now we can get started. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I ask your blessing on this morning. Thank you for such a beautiful day. No wind, warm sunshine. Lord, thank you so much for the blessings. And now, Father, as we turn to your word, I pray that you open our hearts and minds, our souls, Lord, to you. Give us knowledge, wisdom, understanding, Lord. And thank you for who you are and all that you do on our behalf. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So trust in the Lord. And we're going to look at Psalm 33. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 33. And, you know, in this world, things get crazy. Our attention can be drawn away from the Lord. And today's just a reminder of who God is and what some of his attributes are and that he wants to be involved in your life. And so, you know, who is this God we're trusting in? This God that created everything. And you know, we're supposed to trust him. You know, the Bible talks about faith we need to have faith. But why do we put our faith in God? And so what this is, these are some attributes of God. He is worthy of our trust. He is the living God, and that's where our faith is. But we're going to look at some of these things, these aspects of his character, the aspects of his nature, if you will. And the psalmist puts this in Psalm 33 so beautifully. And so to get started, the Lord is worthy. The Lord is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. And so let's look at this first three verses. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones. Praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with a lyre. Make music to him with a 10-string harp. Sing a new song to him. Play skillfully on the strings with a joyful shout. The Lord is worthy of our praise. And I love it. He says, you righteous ones, praise from the upright is beautiful. And so, you know, praising God from a heart that's soiled, from a person that's in sin, that is not something that delights the Lord. But when his people are trying to do right, you know, we're not perfect, but we're seeking to obey him, we're seeking to serve him, we're seeking to do what's right, that pleases him. That is, he calls that beautiful. Our praise is beautiful. And so we want to rejoice in him because his praise is worthy of him, anything that we can praise him, but also it's praise from the heart. In verse 1, it's talking about praise from the heart because if your heart is right with God, you're going to be righteous. You're going to be upright, not perfect, but upright and righteous. And you will be that. And that's what he's saying here. You righteous ones, praise from the upright is beautiful. Your heart, who you are on the inside, not what people see on the outside, but who you are on the inside. And that's verse 1, the praise from the heart. Verse 2, it's really praise with our abilities. What does he say? He says, praise the Lord with the lyre, make music to him with a 10-string harp. You know, that's some people have abilities to play music. Others have abilities to praise him in word and in speech. I hope I have some of that. I definitely don't have the music part, but the point being, we praise him with our heart, from our heart. We praise him with our abilities. When we do the things that he created us to do, that praises him. And he's worthy of that praise. He has given you certain abilities. Every one of us, we have strengths, we have weaknesses, we have abilities that can be used by him for the furtherment of his kingdom, for the edification of us, the brethren. We edify one another, build one another up. I know a lot of people in this time, we can't really visit like we want to, but we can definitely call and do email and send little funny things on email to make someone laugh. You know, all those things, that's praising God because he's given you an ability to share to share something with somebody, to build someone up, or to play an instrument, or do whatever. We have people like Dave that does all this electronic stuff, and Michelle helps out with that, and you know, Harvey puts the scaffold up faithfully every week, and you know, we have people that are using their abilities and their resources, and Lord is worthy of us to do that. He's worthy of our effort. And then in verse 3, praise with our lips. Praise with our lips. So sing a new song. Sing a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with a joyful shout. You know, we praise Him with our lips. We sing songs about Him, and sometimes we just pray to Him and just tell Him how great He is, and we thank Him. We show a thankful heart for what He has done in our lives. Those are things that we can do, and He is worthy of the praise from our heart. He's worthy of the praise from our abilities, and He's worthy of the praise from our lips. And so we need to remember that. We need to remember that. And moving on to verses 4 and 5, the Lord is worthy, but the Lord is balanced. The Lord is balanced. Verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is trustworthy. All of it. You know, and what is He? Well, let me just read verse 5 because they really kind of go together. He loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of the Lord's unfailing love. Or another word for that is loving kindness. And the bottom line is His word is right. It's truth. It says, for the word of the Lord is right. You know, if it says it in here, it's right. And we need to understand that. Sometimes we find things in here that kind of goes against what our flesh would have us do. But we need to understand the word of the Lord is right. And He is a just, righteous God. It says He loves righteousness and justice. And we got to understand the full character of God. The full character of God. Yes, He is righteous and just, and He is a judge, and He will carry out judgment one day on all of us, whether it be the lost, they will be judged according to their works. The saved, we will be judged according to our works as far as our service to Him, but not for our salvation, praise the Lord. Our works don't come into that. But everybody is going to be judged. You're either going to be judged at the great white throne, and that's where God says basically, do you know My Son? Have you accepted Him, His sacrifice? And in the event that we have, then your name is written in the book of life, and you're going to be living forever with the Lord in the presence of God. For those that have not, they will be judged according to their works, and they will be found to have sin in their life, and they will have to pay for that sin in a place we don't like to talk about, but is important to talk about, a place called hell, a place of punishment, a place really of getting what you earned. You know, heaven is getting what you don't earn. It's by grace. But hell, we earn it. We're worthy of it. And that's why it's important for us to share the truth of the gospel to everyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of Him. And so we need to understand that. His word is right. It's truth. He is just, righteous, holy, yet He loves. You know, He loves. It says the earth is full of the Lord's unfailing love. You know, it all over the New Testament, when it refers to Jesus Christ, it talks about Jesus Christ full of truth and grace. Okay? His sense of justice, His sense of right and wrong, that comes forth in truth. But the fact that we are forgiven, grace is available to us, mercy, those things, that has to do with His grace. It has to do with His loving kindness to us. You know what's interesting? We do these things as well in our interactions with one another. We do these things. You know, you ever see somebody and you see them doing something, and, you know, two different people can see a person, and they're doing something that's not quite right, or maybe it's really not right. And one person will go, wow, that person deserves the full penalty of the law. You know, and we can be very harsh. And then there's other persons that will go, oh, you know, he's just whatever, you know, and they make an excuse for him. And, you know, sometimes we do that even with our own children. We can be very harsh towards them, or we can make excuses for them. We see this in parents. I deal with a lot of parents. I've counseled a lot of people, done a lot of things in that regard. And sometimes you have the lenient parent, and sometimes you have the very harsh and rod of iron parent. And in truth, we need to be like Jesus and have truth and grace. Truth and grace. In other words, we need to be balanced too. And one doesn't contradict the other. One doesn't compromise the other. We need to understand what truth is, but we also need to understand what grace is. And the Lord certainly does that. And that is why, you know, we may not treat one another rightly in some way, but God always does. He is perfectly balanced. He knows who we are. He knows what we've done. And He's willing to discipline us in love and bring us back to Him. And what a wonderful, wonderful God. We can trust that He will be balanced in His dealings with us. Then we move on. Verses 6 through 9. The Lord is awesome. The Lord is awesome. I get some flack on that because I said in a service once, I'm tired of hearing people go, oh, this spaghetti's awesome, or wow, that's a really awesome car, or you know, what, oh, this video game is awesome, you know. And I'm like, I am really not in awe of spaghetti, and I'm really not in awe of a video game. But I am in awe of the Lord, and rightly so. Verses 6 through 9. The heavens were made by the word of God, all the stars by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into a heap. He puts the depths into storehouses. Let the whole earth tremble before the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it came into being. He commanded, and it came into existence. You know, in verse 6, we see the Creator, and it speaks of power. The heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of His mouth. I mean, you know, sometimes we make something. I've made things at my house. I've made things in the garage, put something together, built something, and it's a lot of work, and sometimes it doesn't come out too good, sometimes better than others. You know, sometimes I got to redo it. You know, you learn from your mistakes and you make it better the next time. You can do all these things. We have great manufacturing plants here that make things, and a lot of tooling, you know, a lot of expense, a lot of people working on it, a lot of technology, and all that's well and good. But you know what? The Creator just spoke it. Let there be light. Bam, there was light. Let there be the world, and the world was created, and the stars. You know, it's really, really kind of cool. He's going through all the things that He made. And then I think in verse 4, I think it is in Genesis, He goes, and He made the stars also. I think that's how it's worded in the Bible. It's like He made all these things, and He made the stars also, as if that was nothing. And yet, what do we know about the number of the stars and their magnitude and their mass and just how big this universe is? And yet, He spoke it into existence. The power of the Lord. The power of the Lord. The Creator, verse 6, it speaks of the power of the Lord. In verse 7, it says, He gathers the waters of the sea into a heap. He puts the depths, into storehouses. And you know, He's talking about the oceans and the land and the springs. And you know what? That speaks of planning. You know, none of this stuff happened by accident. He's a planning God. He had us a plan. He's working his plan all through history. And part of that plan was the creation. And, you know, he created the oceans. And it says the waters were gathered. They are gathered. They're gathered where we call the oceans. You can, you know, go to the coast 100 or so miles and you see the vast Pacific Ocean. If you're on the East Coast, you see the Atlantic Ocean. All the waters are gathered into these oceans. And so we have the land and we have the oceans. But not only that, he says the storehouse of the deep. He puts the depths in the storehouses. You know, we have springs that come up, you know, water flowing out of the ground and all over the world. It's all with a plan. He made these things. The first verse 6 speaks of power. The second speaks of planning. But then we have verse 8. Let the whole earth tremble before the Lord. Fear before the Lord. Another word for it. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Stand in awe of Him. Tremble. Fear. Be in awe. This speaks of respectful, reverential fear. Do you fear God? In a reverential way. It's not like I walk around just fearful that He's going to strike me or do something horrible to me. He's a loving God. I understand that. But He is God. And when you are in the presence of God, are you respectful? You know, do you recognize who He is and what He's doing is the best for us? And, you know, we need to think of Him in a respectful way, in a reverential way, and have a fear. You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, we should be actually kind of fear and trembling if we're not doing what God would have us do. He created us for a purpose. Are we about His business, about His purpose? Whatever that may be in your life, you have to get a hold of that. And then what do? You go do it. And why do you do it? Because you got this reverential fear of God. And you know, I really believe we all need a little more of that. It's so easy to take Him for granted. It's so easy. You know, sun rises every day. It rises every day. And it rains enough that it, wherever it's supposed to rain, it rains. He is faithful. He is faithful every day. And I think a lot of times that faithfulness causes us to kind of relax a little bit, causes us to kind of take Him for granted. I think we kind of took our freedom for granted till the events of the last month, where all of a sudden I just can't go where I want to go or do the things I want to do. Now all of a sudden it's become very important to me. Or maybe it was always important to me, but maybe I'm just more aware of it now. And maybe that's the key with God. Maybe we just need to be more aware of His presence when we're in our everyday life, whatever that looks like. We need to be aware of His presence. And then in verse 9, for He spoke and it came into being. He commanded and it came into existence. This verse speaks of His authority. God spoke, it happened. He commanded, it appeared. I mean, it wasn't there, and He said, let there be oceans. Bam, oceans. You know, let there be plants on animals. Boom, plants and animals. He spoke it, and it happened. That's His authority. All nature. You know, isn't that interesting? All nature obeys Him. It's just man that doesn't. Because you see, we're unique. He gave us free will. He gave us the ability to say no. We should indeed be in awe of God. Do you realize when you disobey God, you're telling God, the creator of the universe, the awesome, the powerful, the planning, the authoritative God, no? We're telling Him no. And that's something to think about. How many times have I told Him no? And I have. But praise the Lord, I've grown and I'm a little more sensitive to His Spirit. And now sometimes my flesh says no. And then He speaks to me and I'm like, okay, got the message, going to do it. Thank you, Lord, for being patient with me. The Lord is awesome. The Lord is awesome. Verses 10 through 12, the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord frustrates the counsel of the nations. He thwarts the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. Happy is the nation whose God is Yahweh, the people He has chosen to be His own possession. The Lord is sovereign. You know, in verse 10, you know, whatever's going on, I mean, we got people, you know, conspiracy theories, you know, and all this stuff going on in our nation. Do you understand that they can make their plans? The wicked can make plans and the righteous can make plans. But you know what? Those plans won't work if it's in contradiction to God's plan. You know, God's plan is going to happen, folks, whatever it may be in whatever area. You know, a lot of times we think of God's plans in terms of the end of the world and that kind of thing. But do you understand He has plans for you right now in the here and now? He has plans for you, your family. He has plans for your abilities, how He wants to use you. All these things, you know, it's not just that huge picture, which we need to be aware of, but it's also the individual picture. For all of us, the individual picture. He has plans. And if our plans are contrary to His plan, it's not going to happen. Look what it says. It frustrates the counsel of the nations. You know, nations can get together and want to do something, but if it's not according to God's plan, it's not going to happen. He'll frustrate that counsel. It says He thwarts the plans of the people. So whether it's a nation or a person, He's on top of it. Secondly, God's plans will stand. In verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart are from generation to generation. God has made a plan. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to unfold, whether we like it or not. God's plans will stand. And then third in this is verse 12. Happy is the nation whose God is Yahweh, the people He has chosen to be His own possession. You know, it's saying what? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In other words, God's in control of that nation. This nation that is submitting to the God of the universe. Blessed is that nation. Now, we know our nation, there's many, many people, millions of people that do believe and they are trying to submit. But our nation is actively trying to get rid of God. What are we seeing? And just look at this pandemic, and I'll be talking more about this Wednesday night, and I hope you'll look in on that. But look what's happening. I'll just give you one little word out of this from Dennis Prager, who really thinks about some crazy stuff. I mean, it's not crazy. It makes sense, but it's just stuff I don't think about. But he says, what you're seeing right now is science is the religion. You ever notice? You see what everybody's saying? All the leaders are saying, well, we're going to reopen the country according to science. You know, we're going to look at the science, and that's going to dictate. And so what does that mean? Well, what that means is science is now the new religion, and its experts, these experts are the prophets and the priests. You know, they got the scientists. And you know, like that guy in England that said 2 million people were going to die in the United States, and that's why we went into this total lockdown. You know what? That guy was wrong by 98%. He said 2 million, and it's going to be less than 200,000 easily, probably less than 100,000 when it's all said and done. I mean, he was so far off, it was ridiculous. And that's why everybody was saying, I need 50,000 respirators and all this. And now what? Everybody's giving respirators away. Because he was wrong. But science is the religion, and the experts have become the prophets and the priests. And there has been no greater need now than for truth to be proclaimed. Truth to be proclaimed. This word is truth. When we speak from this word, we speak truth. And that's what we need to be about. Yes, our Lord is sovereign. All the plans that are being made by these nations, it's only going to happen if it goes along with God's ultimate plan. Rest assured, God is faithful. You can trust Him. It's only going to go according to His purposes. And you got to believe that. Verses 13 through 17, the Lord is judge. The Lord is judge. In verses 13 and 14, we see that He sees all. He sees all. The Lord looks down from heaven. He observes everyone. He gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth from His dwelling place. Listen, He sees everyone, folks. You're not hiding. The person that totally doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe He exists, he cannot hide from God. God still sees him. Whether, you know, if I see somebody and you don't know that I'm there, I still see you. And it's the same for them. It's the same for them. He sees all. But look at this. In verse 15, He created us and He considers our works. He alone shapes their hearts. He considers all their works. You realize, and it says all their works. Do you realize when we are doing something, He's considering what we are doing. He's considering the fruit of our labor or our lack of labor, whatever that may be. He is considering that. He's pondering it is another word. He ponders it. He's considering it. And then in 16 and 17, there's people that think they're going to escape, but they're not. A king is not saved by a large army. A warrior will not be delivered by great strength. The horse is a false hope for safety. It provides no escape by its great power. You know, there's some people that just think, you know, they can get away from God or that they're not going to be affected by God's plans. But it says the king is not saved by a large army. So even if you got a million people following you, God's still going to deal with you. It says a warrior will not be delivered by great strength. In other words, even if you are a really strong person and you've got it figured out, okay, that your strength isn't going to help you. And it says the horse is a false hope for safety. It provides no escape by its great power. I've been around horses. They're strong. I got on one time in New Mexico. It took him about 2 seconds to buck me off. He decided he didn't want me on there, and I wasn't on there. Let me tell you, tossed me like I was a rag doll, and you know, I'm not exactly a rag doll in build, okay? And he took me off of there like it was nothing. And I was on a horse another time. I was trying to go one way, and he wanted to go a different way. Do you know who won? He did. He went the way he wanted to go. It was crazy. It was right over a cliff. But, you know, I lived. I'm here. I actually rode him to the bottom of the cliff. but not by skill either. It was just hanging on, and somehow I didn't fall off. But all that to say, some people put their faith in things that they perceive to be strong or fast or have some ability. But you know what? The Bible says that is a false hope for safety. There's people that are putting hope in government and different things. Let me tell you something, that's a false hope for safety. If that government isn't following the Lord, if that government isn't acting according to His word, that is a false hope for safety. You know, we need to have our hope on the Lord. He is the one. He is judge. You know, we're not going to escape Him. No matter where we hide, no matter what we take cover under, He's going to be there. He's going to consider what we're doing, and He's going to judge. This next one is related, but it's about He's watching us in a negative way. In other words, He's going to deal with people. But I love verse 18 and 19. The Lord is watchful. And this isn't about judging, that the first one was, but the last four verses, but these two verses is not about judging. It's about love and deliverance. Look what it says in verses 18 and 19. Now the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, those who depend on His faithful love to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. You know, the Lord is watching. It says He's watching those who fear Him. He's watching those who depend on Him. You know, do you have that reverential fear? Do you acknowledge He's the God of the universe and we need to serve Him and love Him and worship Him and praise Him and thank Him and serve Him, all those things? But also, are we depending on Him? It says His eye is on those who fear Him. His eye is on those who depend on Him. Now look, I'm not totally discounting things that men can do. Listen, if you have a health issue, my wife has asthma. She takes inhalers, but she still depends on God. But God gave us the ability to create some things that help us. I'm not saying don't do that, but what I am saying is do the things you know you can do, do the things that are available, but put your faith and your hope. Depend on God. Depend on God. That's the thing. And His eye is on those that are depending on Him. His eye is on those who are fearing Him. Depend on Him. Fear Him, because you know what? He will deliver us. Verse 19, to deliver them from death, to keep us alive in famine. You know, right now we're kind of in a famine. You know, we're in a famine. There's a lot of people who are lonely. They're in church many times was the, you know, especially for people that are alone and maybe they don't have any relatives around. A lot of times all they have is their church family. And right now we can't meet like we used to. So you could call that a famine of fellowship. You know, it could be a famine of other things. Whatever it might be that you're used to doing, you might be going in a famine. But do you understand? God will sustain you. Put your faith in Him. He will sustain you. He will deliver you. And in the end, listen, everybody dies. I'm not trying to be morbid here, but read the book of Genesis. Adam did this, Adam did that, and then Adam died. You know, Noah did this, Noah did that, and then Noah died. Abraham did this, Abraham did that. Abraham died. Listen, everybody dies of something. We're acting like in this country, like we can beat death. We can't beat death. Everyone dies of something. Now, I don't want to go any sooner than I'm supposed to. So I'm going to take reasonable things. You know, I don't jump off of buildings. You don't see me leaping off the scaffold at the end of the message. I climb down. Why? I don't want to die, you know, or mess myself up. I'm not going to do stupid stuff. I'm not going to do foolish stuff. But you know what? I know God's going to deliver me. If I'm doing what's right, and my eye is on Him, and I fear Him, and I'm dependent on Him, He's going to deliver me. And if He doesn't, then it was my time anyway. If He says it's your time, it's your time. Whether you're 2 years old or 102. We got to get that in mind. Big picture, folks. Not trying to be a downer, just saying that's real. That's reality. The Lord's watching. And who's He watching? It's not about judgment. It's about love. Those who depend on His faithful love. He loves us faithfully. He's good to us faithfully. We're in His eye. We've got His attention. Don't take that for granted. And then lastly, the Lord is faithful. It just kind of sums it up. The Lord is faithful. Verse 20, we wait for Yahweh. He is our help and shield, for our hearts rejoice in Him because we trust in His holy name. May your faithful love rest on us, Yahweh, for we put our hope in You. We put our hope in You. Verse 20, you've got the word there on your outline if you have it. Listen, if I believe He is faithful, I will wait expectantly. If I trust Him, I will wait expectantly. If I believe He's faithful, if I can trust Him, I will wait expectantly. Look at that. We wait for Yahweh. He is our help and shield. It's not we hope He is or we sure hope He's around. No, He is our help and shield. You know, I will wait. And what this is saying is we wait for Him. I will wait on His timing. I will wait on His help. I will wait on His provision. I will wait on His protection. I'm putting my faith in Him. And so as I'm waiting for this whole thing to pass, I am waiting expectantly. I am waiting, expecting God to do something on my behalf and on behalf of this church and on behalf of Christians all over the world. I am waiting expectantly because I expect my God to do something. Because He's a God of action. And He waits, though, for the perfect time. He has many things going on, and His timing is perfect. You ever get out of God's timing? You might be doing the right thing at the wrong time, and it doesn't turn out well. But you do the right thing at the right time, turns out well. God's timing. I will wait expectantly. Verse 21, if I believe He is faithful, if I'm trusting Him, I will rejoice sincerely. For our hearts rejoice in Him because we trust His holy name. You know what? I can talk and act like I trust Him. You know, you can see somebody going through a really hard time or something going on in their life. Well, I trust in God, but boy, this sure is horrible. I trust in God, but I don't know what He's doing. You know, they're not rejoicing. He says in verse 21, our hearts rejoice because we trust. Because we trust. You know, I can talk and act like I trust Him, but real trust is revealed by the heart that rejoices. Real trust is revealed by the heart that rejoices. And when you're rejoicing in the midst of the storm, your actions will follow, and you may act differently than someone else that isn't trusting. Someone else may be panicking and doing some crazy stuff, you know. No, but if we're really trusting Him, we're just rejoicing that He's got this, and my actions will speak of trust, not panic. Now, we may indeed need to take actions. Nothing wrong with that. But we do it in trust of Him and in His will. And in His way, no matter the circumstance. I mean, right now we got this huge circumstance going on. But you know what? What other circumstance you got going on in your life? Your whole life hasn't come to a standstill because this virus thing and how the government's reacting to it. You got other things going on in your life. You got people that you're connected to that are got problems that you care about and you want to pray for them or whatever. You know, we need to rejoice no matter the circumstance. When this whole thing is over, and hopefully, you know, I pray that we'll get back to normal soon and be back in this building and be back, you know, worshiping the way we used to and all that and all those things. But until then, no matter the circumstance, whether we're out here, whether we're in there, whether we're watching at home, whatever it may be, rejoice. We rejoice in the Lord because we trust Him. All this stuff is in the hands of the one you can trust the most. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. And then verse 22. If I believe He is faithful, if I really trust Him, I will pray confidently. I will pray confidently. He turns into a prayer. All this time he's talking about God, but then all of a sudden the psalmist talks to God. He's starting to pray. He says, we do this and we're doing that and the eye of the Lord is on this and all this. He's talking about all these things. And then he says, all of a sudden, he ends this psalm in a prayer. May your faithful love, God, rest on us, for we put our hope in you. We put our hope. And that word hope isn't the word hope like, I hope I win the lotto. Okay? Or I sure hope this situation turns out right. I don't know what's going on. I just hope it happens. No, this word hope means confidence. It's confidence. May your faithful love rest on us, Yahweh, for our confidence is in you. It says, so if we believe He is faithful, we will pray confidently, just like this psalmist did here. He said all these things, all these attributes of God. And he says, you know what, God? I pray that your faithful love, your loving kindness will rest on us, Lord. Because why? We are confident in you. We are confident in you. You see, our expectations from God are not to replace prayer. Yes, we need to, you know, I talked earlier, we will wait expectantly and we will rejoice sincerely. But you know what? Those expectations and those sincere rejoicings, they're not to replace prayer. They should drive us to prayer. If we're waiting on God, we need to be praying to Him. Not just expectantly, not just sincerely, but confidently. Because you know what? I am confident that prayer works. I am confident that if I'm trying to serve Him and I'm fearful of Him in a positive way, He's an awesome God. I'm in awe of Him, and in fear and trembling, He is the living God. My prayer is being heard because His eye is on me and His ear is toward me. And you know what? When the time is right, He will act. He will act. We need to wait expectantly, rejoice sincerely, and pray confidently. In the days of adversity, it is easy to look toward government, doctors, or even my own resources for relief and protection. It's real easy to do that. Because we live in a physical world. We're bound by our bodies. We're bound physically. Okay? We got to get more in tune spiritually. Indeed, all of these entities and more, government, doctors, even myself, my resources, my abilities, all these entities and more can be used by God in my life. Absolutely. God uses nations. He uses people. But nothing should command my attention more than the Lord. Nothing should command my attention more than the Lord. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He alone is my strength and my shield. He alone is worthy of my praise and my worship. He alone. He alone. And as I presented this and as the psalmist presented his, I also end mine with a short prayer. Lord, may I always fear you and depend on you for my every need. May your faithful love always rest on me. Amen. And I wrote that in the personal on mine. I know yours may say we and that, but I want to make it personal. You know, instead of we, put I or my. Because He's a personal God. And you can pray personally. Lord, may I always fear you. May I always depend on you for my every need. May your love always rest on me. Amen. So be it. So be it. Have you trusted in God for your salvation? You know, that's the first step of trust for anybody. If you're a believer today, that means you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ at some time in your life. That was your first step. For those of you that may be watching, or maybe some here today, have you trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation? Have you trusted in what He did on the cross? We just celebrated it last week. He died on the cross and rose again for you and me to pay the price for our sin. And you have to make a choice. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ, you have to make a choice. All you got to do is go to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've done many things wrong. I deserve your worst punishment. But I believe in what Jesus did. He paid the price for my sin by dying on the cross, and you raised Him from the dead in victory over sin and death, and I place my faith and trust in what He did. And on that basis, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And you know what He'll do? He'll do it. He'll forgive you and send you the Holy Spirit to reside within you, to be your teacher, your guide, your comforter. And He'll open your eyes to truth. For the rest of us, we got something to consider as well. Yeah, we may have our trust in him for our salvation.
For the rest of us.
But how's your trust in him while you're waiting? How's your trust in him while you're waiting for some young? You've prayed and prayed and prayed and you're still waiting. Trust in him. He's faithful. How about some of us? We may have trouble rejoicing. We may not like what's going on. We may not like where God has us right now. Do you rejoice anyway? Are you just looking at the bigger picture? You know, the Lord is still in control. He pulls all the strings, folks. The only things that happen around here are things he allows. And the only reason he allows it is because it works into his plan or he's got some kind of purpose to use us. You know, I think a lot of this, what's going on now, part of it anyway, has to do with waking the church up, waking us up. He's doing that. But maybe we're having trouble rejoicing. We should be rejoicing. Maybe some of you have that. Maybe some of you have trouble praying confidently. I know I have done this. I pray, but I pray sometimes. I'm like praying, but I'm like, well, God's really, you know, in the background, God's really not going to answer this prayer. He'll answer it for someone else, but he won't answer it for me. Well, you know, God always answers. It's yes, no, or wait. But he always answers. And if the answer is no, then you just need to rejoice and say, okay, you know something more than I do, God. It's not the best thing for me. And I'm just going to rejoice that you gave me that information, and I'm going forward. I'm going to serve you. And if it's yes, it's hallelujah. You go share with your friends what God has done. And then sometimes it's just wait. We got to learn how to wait. We are not a patient people. Sometimes we just got to learn how to wait. Maybe some of us need to focus on the Lord more. Maybe that's our need. Maybe we've been looking around at everything else, and maybe God is saying, look towards me. Maybe we need to set some of this stuff to the side for a moment and give God our undivided attention. Or maybe we just need more trust, more faith. Bible says just a small amount, size of a mustard seed. Exercise a little bit of faith and it will grow. Why? Because that's how faith works. Jesus likened it to a plant. You get a little bitty seed and it begins to grow. You put a little bit of faith in God and let him show you that he's faithful, that he's trustworthy. And then you'll have more faith for the next bigger thing, and then the next bigger thing. How do you think these people, I pray it doesn't happen to us, but some people just, they go to their death for Jesus. And we go, wow, how could they do that? Well, you know what? God brought them on a road where their faith was there, even to the point they would give their life. That's how faith works. It grows. It grows. Just going to have everyone bow their heads for a minute and just going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. I don't know what your need is, but at this time, if you just try to push everything out of your minds, push everything off to the side, and just focus on God. What's he telling you? What's he telling you? Heavenly Father, Lord God, help us, I pray. We're a needy people, but you are a mighty God. Help us, Lord. Help those that are having trouble waiting. Lord God, give them faith. Help them to be steadfast. Father, help those that maybe the answer was no to their prayer. Lord God, give them grace to accept their situation, their circumstance, Lord, and give them a heart of rejoicing for the areas that you have worked. And for those of us that maybe we've had our prayers answered, Lord God, in the way we would like, Lord God, thank you and praise you for that. Father, help us to pray confidently. Help us to rejoice always, consistently. Help us to wait patiently. Pray confidently. Help us to focus on you, Lord. Help us to have faith and trust in you. I pray for all that may be watching online, for all that may be here in the parking lot today, Lord. I pray for them. I pray you would meet them at their point of need and show them that you are real, that you care, that you are God, and that you are able, and that you love them, Lord. I ask you to do that, and I ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all take care. God bless you.